Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The title of this talk is Correction. The second scripture I'm going to bring out, I just sat down at the table and opened up to the second scripture, which I'll read. And it kind of tied into a little bit about what Pastor Tim was saying on Sunday. But what I was thinking a little while ago, Shoshana, what year were you baptized?
2001.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So when it comes to correction, I am always very hesitant to correct anybody, and that's why. I'm the youngest person in the Lord here. Everybody here is older in the Lord than what I am. So I immediately think, well, I've got to be careful here, you know, like people have seen so many more things than what I've seen. And that is something that, like, if ever I have to correct anybody, I churn it over for a long time, making sure that it's of the Lord, and then approach them that way. But we'll read Hebrews chapter 12, which is a part of this, is what Pastor Tim read out on Sunday. Hebrews chapter 12, the famous chastening scriptures. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." You know, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So it's such an important thing there, you know, the chastening of the Lord. And we go through trials to refine us, and we can all look back on our life in the Lord, how the Lord's chastened us. And he does it because he loves us and he cares for us. He wants us to grow strong in the things of the Lord, and he loves those whom he chastens or corrects. As we know in the natural, a father corrects his child. Verse 7, "If you endure chastening," you know, and I remember Pastor Tim, like, what struck a chord with me when he said it, like this enduring chastening, you know. I remember him saying that, oh yeah, like you're so annoyed, you know, you get chastened of the Lord and you stay up all night, you're sad or you're angry, but you endure it. And then it goes on and said, "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons," or you're illegitimate. Someone that God doesn't care about, okay, and we all do things wrong, you know. So we're all going to be subject to a chastisement of our heavenly Father. And so the Lord's saying, "Look, you endure it, because we know it's a good thing." Verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Okay, logical things to think about. "For they," i.e. our earthly fathers, "verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," being God, "for our profit," our eternal profit, "that we might be partakers of his holiness," his righteousness, his purity, "and grow." Verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." You know, that grief and really strikes hard. It's not a good thing. "Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, those that take it on board and realize to grow. And those trials, you know, we look back and we see it as a refining fire that makes us a refined jewel and makes us better as a result of it, even though at the time it was grievous, it was not joyous. But it's that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So think about it. if we didn't go through chastening of the Lord, okay, that's the important, if we didn't go through chastening of the Lord, we would not then yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, he purges the branch that it may yield more fruit. And so that's that whole thing of growing, you know, and training and so forth, that we all bear fruit. And God wants the trees to bear fruit. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Again, Pastor Tim was saying, you know, stop moping around. Lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. Get up and carry on and do the work of the Lord. Verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail in the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So that's the verse I'll finish up on. It says, looking diligently, looking forward diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And then, like, if this whole chastening thing, we don't want the chastening to end up being a root of bitterness, you know, because others are then defiled or infected by it, you know, like lift up your hands that hang down, your feeble knees, move on and learn from that chasing and that correction, and then you'll bear the fruit. You will not have the root of bitterness, and you will not fail of the grace of God. You know, they're just great things. Like, it's just this passage of scripture here. You can read through it and you can see, like, a bigger picture of what it's all about and what it means and why it's important for the Lord to correct us. We're born spiritually as babies, and we must grow and bear fruit. So over to Jeremiah chapter 30, the scripture that I opened up to when I sat down at the table. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Jeremiah 30 and verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob. Remember, look through spiritual eyes here. So the Lord's speaking to his chosen people. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar. I'll draw you from afar. You were once a long way away from the kingdom of God. You didn't have the Spirit. You're wandering astray. You're in a foreign land. But he will save us from afar. He'll draw us to his kingdom, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return. You know, his church will return, his bride will return, and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. I'll preserve thee, but I'll correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Okay? It's so important. The Lord has put it there, you know, this compassion. He wants to see his servant Jacob saved. He wants to see us saved. He wants to see the Spirit-filled church, the bride of Christ, to be there adorned beautifully in righteousness and purity. He wants to see that. And it says, I like how it says, but I will correct thee in measure. You know, he won't overdo it. Just a measure. He'll do it as is required. Not too much, not too little. It is measured precisely for what we need. He is God. Our earthly fathers, as it said before, chastised us according to their pleasure, you know. But God is our heavenly Father. He knows us, and he'll correct us in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. We go astray, we do things wrong, we'll continue to do things wrong. It's guaranteed. Everyone here, including myself, will do something wrong in future where we need some sort of correction from the Lord. And so we can kind of prepare ourselves, I guess, in advance that we know the correction will be in measure and he won't leave us unpunished. Praise the Lord, he won't leave us unpunished. Think about it. We don't want to be left unpunished. Then we'll be a recalcitrant child. You know, we want to grow and we want to be refined. So if we do something wrong before the Lord, we want to be corrected. You know, praise the Lord in measure, properly done from the Lord. Over to Lamentations chapter 3, the next book, Lamentation of Jeremiah, which is what I always forget when I turn to this book. Andy brought out some of this recently. Lamentations chapter 3. And there's an interesting aspect, and a couple of verses out of this passage will appear on the newsletter. I've got to get that off this week. I just realised this weekend is the last weekend of the month. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Interesting last two verses there. And it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. And it says in the verse before, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'm sure that's linked. You know, while you can, while you have the energy of the youth, do the work. When you can do the work of the Lord, you do it. You bear that yoke. It's light. The yoke is easy and his burden is light, but you still do the work of the Lord when you can do it. So later, you realise that you'll quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly. Not claptrap. And you see it in the flesh. Like you see the energy and the strength of a people is in the youth. But if they are there and they in the natural bearing the yoke and working hard and focusing on work, so then they're sleeping at night and later in life they are quiet. They're quiet. And I was just saying to someone recently, like, I remember as a child just looking at even like elderly people and elderly men who worked hard, not too hard, of course, because then they get broken, but work hard when they can, when they have the strength, they're quiet and they're comfortable, you know, because of they've worked when they could and they're comfortable with their life and what they've achieved. And I remember there was this elderly lady. She was a pioneer in northern South Australia. And like her husband was opening up the land, and she was at the house trying to run the house in this pioneer environment, which was very lonely. And it was tough. She brought up children, you know, having to walk to collect water, having to cut the wood as well in order to bake the bread and the cake and the biscuits and meals and everything like that. Just tough. Really, no electricity, no phones or anything. And I remember she was quiet. Elderly in life, she was quiet. She was just comfortable. She saw her children grow up. At the time, it would have been really hard. She couldn't see the point. You know, you're flagellating an expired equine, it seems. But later in life, you're quiet and you're comfortable with what you've seen in life. And it's the same in the Lord when we have the strength. You know, it seems like day by day, what are we doing? You know, like we're going out, knocking on doors, and how many people are coming into the meetings, you know? But we keep doing it when we've got the strength. We keep doing the work of the Lord, and later in life we wait, we're quiet, waiting for the salvation of the Lord, knowing that, yes, we did redeem the time and we were there following his ways. And that's... Oh, no, we'll go to the next scripture, Philippians chapter 2, before I bring that point out. Philippians chapter 2, I brought this out quite a few times, and it's an aspect that Pastor Tim referred to as well. And now how do I say this? So as you read through this, think of those saints that embody what I'm reading. Philippians chapter 2, and what you think of those saints, the impression you have of them Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind, same vision. And here, Paul here is saying that's how you fulfill his joy. When he sees an assembly that he spearheaded the establishment of, and you see that assembly being like-minded, the same love, one accord, one mind, you know, of course it's going to fulfill his joy. And you'll see it today. You know, like people who establish an assembly and come back 10 years later and they've grown and they're all in unity. I mean, how joyous would that be? Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. So we read there where it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. To have that mindset, and not that mindset, because Pastor Tim brought this aspect out, not that mindset, yeah, they should be looking at the things of others and them. But Pastor Tim was encouraging us all to look inside and how we ourselves can look at the things of others. You know, not to sit there and say, you have to look at the things of others, including me, but we look at how we can look at the things of others. And it's just an amazing example how God here has just used his own son, you know, who was a servant, who was humble, who was quiet. He was like the lamb to the slaughter when he went to the cross. He didn't shout and carry on, you know, but he was quiet. He was quiet even unto death. He was humble and he was obedient. And then look at verse 9, wherefore God highly exalted him. It was God who lifted him up and gave him a name above every other name. And so we look at, we think of saints, you know, that quietly go about their business, you know, quietly doing the things and quietly looking at things, looking on the things of others and not their own. And they just quietly do it, not without telling others about what they get up to. And also what I've noticed as well, those that just quietly go about and they're not expecting praise. And I've even noticed some people are embarrassed when you give them praise. You know, and they go about these things, and then the Lord will exalt them, and we have that regard for those saints as well that quietly go about their business, and look upon the things of others, but not themselves. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we're in the field, churning over the sod on here on earth, you know, doing the work of the Lord. spreading the gospel, doing the things that the Lord's asked us to do. So we're on the plough. We've got our shoulder to the plough, bearing that yoke when we can bear it. And so we don't look back. So we move on. We look to the future and realize, it was scriptural when we were chastised of the Lord, but look forward, knowing that it was yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Look forward instead of looking back and thinking of an injustice or something that maybe the Lord had done. But you look forward to grow and with joy, you know, because when you're ploughing the field, you look forward to the planting, you look forward to the growth of the plants and then the bearing of the fruit and the reaping where there's great joy. So we look forward to these things. It's what the Lord wants us to do, not looking back, you know, and dwelling on the things behind us, but dwelling and looking forward to the things of the future. Because it says here, it's quite strong language at the last half of verse 62, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So how about that? So look to the future, then we're fit for the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let's be as one in unity. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. So Pastor Tim brought this aspect out as well, you know. Like, have a look. You know, those that quietly go about the things of the Lord, you know, aren't looking for praise or even embarrassed when they're praised. You know, they were the ones that have the regard before God and men. And let us be thus minded. And I like in verse 15, and it says, and if anything be ye be otherwise minded. So if you don't have this frame of mind that is scripturally based, you know, encourages us in the scriptures to look forward and to accept the correction. Yes, it's grievous, but knowing the end is brilliant. You know, there's a light. It's fantastic. Yes, go through that grief time or that anger time or that confusion time because we're in the flesh, but go through it and then lift up your hands and your feeble knees. If you're otherwise minded and you don't get it, God's encouraging us here and saying, look, if you are otherwise minded and you're confused and you can't quite put these scriptures into practice, it says, God shall reveal even this unto you. He will help you see it. He'll help you realize the bigger picture. He'll help you look to the future as a refined gem, bearing fruit, that branch being purged so it may bear more fruit. He will help you. Pray about it. Seek the Lord and find out. Last scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. I was just saying someone recently, this is well before I left home. This was my favourite scripture. So I suppose it's been my favourite scripture for a while then, isn't it? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Such encouraging things here when the Lord is in control. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, it's just wonderful, wonderful when we read the scriptures and we apply them in our life and we pray to the Lord if our thoughts and our actions aren't lined up with what the scriptures are saying. You pray to the Lord and look to him that we're part of his body, we're part of his church, we're part of the beautiful bride, that spiritual church. We know that his thoughts toward us, he chose us and filled us with his Holy Spirit. We are the apple of his eye. His thoughts that he thinks toward us are of peace and not of evil. You know, it's a good thing. And there's a plan. Okay, there's a plan that we can't see the whole picture of. But God's got a plan to give us a wonderful expected end. That we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. That we'll dwell with him forever. That we will continue to grow. We'll continue to grow in his ways and be refined. And continue to take correction. Because that's God's plan. Because there is this wonderful expected end. I remember when I was growing up, I mean, it didn't happen often because I was a good little boy. Mum would occasionally get annoyed at me and her slipper would somehow come off her foot and try to whack me with it. And I'd go to my room and I'd grizzle. And then a half an hour later, she'd come in and apologise. I'm thinking, oh, why are you apologising, man? I did the thing wrong. But then she would apologise and she'd say, look, the reason I do this is I want you to grow up to be a man who will be good in society. And I don't know if it was successful, but the Lord is the same. He is our Father in heaven. He wants us to grow up so that we are good in his kingdom and useful in his kingdom. And we are doing the work of the Lord effectively so that when we're raised up to meet him in the air, he can say, right, I know you can judge these, you can judge according to righteousness. You'll be sitting on that spiritual throne judging for that 1,000 years or however long that is. It's a symbolic thing. He can know and be confident to leave it up to us. He doesn't have to look over our shoulder because we would have grown up in the things of the Lord. But it's that path, that process that we've gone through while here on earth to become this rip-snorter of a refined gem when he returns. Okay, thank you.